Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here with week 89 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it has been a Lone Vault Wanderer with, by the time we're recording it, this is going to be the last podcast of 2016, right?
Yeah, it'll be.
When's it going up on the channel?
It'll be up on Sunday. It'll be up in 2017, so we made it,
damn.
Dude.
We're still here in 2017. Yeah. That's crazy. Sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the new year.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of YouTubers out there doing list videos and whatnot, ladies and gentlemen. The reason for that is because around this time of the year, there's no news, there's no games discussions to really have because nothing's happening. Everyone's on vacation. So Lone and I were thinking what we wanted to talk about this week. We hope you all had a great holiday. And we figured that we'd jump into what games we're looking most forward to in 2017. So we're going to be looking at an article on videogame247.com. And we're just going to be going between January, February, March, and then it's like games that are confirmed around the Q1, like quarter one area of early 2017, April as well, and then Q2, which is kind of like summer, spring. So it's going to be a little all over the place. And then after that, it's the rest of 2017. So you're really going to, like, if you don't hear a certain game, then it's probably because you didn't stay long enough, because all the games from 2017 that are confirmed are on this list. So we're just going to kind of run through it and be like, okay, this is what we're looking forward to, our thoughts on it. And yeah, also, as always, in the link down below, you guys can listen to the mobile version of the podcast on either iPhones, Androids, whatever you have. You can listen away. So let's get into this. Lone, is anything catching your eye in January?
To be honest, January seems a little bit light, although I do see Hitman, the complete first season. And I am interested to know, I don't know whether you've played it, but how Hitman is going with this whole episodic format that, you know, it's changed. It's shifted from the, you know, original one big release.
Yeah, it's apparently worked out. I have to give the full game a try, because when I was playing, I was like, wow, this is spectacular. You know, especially after playing Dishonored, which I loved. I was really impressed with Hitman. I was like, wow, this is arguably more freedom than Dishonored offers. This is kind of what I've been looking for. So I'm looking to jump into Hitman 2. I do have the full season because Square Enix was nice enough to give me a copy. But the episodic format seems to have worked out because it allowed them to focus heavily on like each episode and really hammer out something significant for each level with this high-ass replay value. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, what about you? Is there anything there? It seems like a light month, January,
to be honest.
I mean,
you see a lot of Japanese games there, right? You know that's right.
Oh, fuck, here we go.
You know that there's three.
Before you get into the Japanese games, all right, hold on. I'm tweeting Maddie on Twitter, all right? And then straight away, his fans just tweet at me. There's like two of them with anime pictures. I'm like, well, of course. This is what I get when I talk to Maddie's fans on Twitter, for fuck's sake.
I don't know where it came from, though. I've been getting like a lot of anime and stuff. Like when people tweet at me, they'll have like pictures of characters from like Persona, Danganronpa, like all these games I love. I'm like, holy shit, man, this is great. Speaking of, though, first game that's catching my eye, it's gonna be the first game I buy in 2017, is Kingdom Hearts 2.8. Really looking forward to that because it's gonna basically be the prologue to 3. I don't think I need to say more than that because I've been looking forward to 3 for so many years. Gravity Rush 2 is another one that was a Vita exclusive game. Gravity Rush 1 I'm talking about. And they decided, well, the Vita's dead, so we're going to bring Gravity Rush 1 to the PS4 and then release a sequel only on the PS4. So that's coming January 20th. That game, I don't think it really worked well on the Vita in terms of gameplay, because it was all, like the title suggests, it was all gravity-based. So like, it was a lot of camera issues, where I think on a standard controller, it would be a lot better. Also, just you'd have more control of things. So I'm really looking forward to that, because that game had a good story. It was a really unique spin on most JRPGs. This is one that I think you can get behind. Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, definitely.
I love Resident Evil so much. I didn't realize how much I did until I looked back at how much I played. I've like replayed 5 and 6 a bunch of times, and I'm one of the few people who loves 5. People trash on it because like they think 4 is the definitive one. 4 is good, don't get me wrong, I'm not slamming it at all, but I love 5. That's my favorite one. Played it so many times.
And it's coming out on the PSVR too. That's going to be some scary shit.
Yeah. And especially because it seems to be a return to form. Like people are describing it as like a first person Resident Evil 1, which Resident Evil 1 is creepy as fuck. So that's really good. And the last one that's catching my eye on this list that I'm probably not going to play because I haven't played any of them, but I'm definitely interested to see how it goes over, is Yakuza 0. Yakuza is like a open world kind of, I'd say almost like, I don't want to say sandbox, but there's just so much random shit to do, like mini games, and it's almost got like the Sleeping Dogs arcade fighting system in it, but you're part of like the Yakuza, and apparently this is like a prequel to get people into the game, so I'm really looking forward to that as well. But
yeah,
that does it for January for me. I tried to keep it brief because, you know, I'm annoying and like lots of Japanese games.
And plus, you know, February's got some good things.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now.
2017 looks fucking sick. I can't lie.
Yeah. For Honor. I mean, that is just come out of nowhere. I don't know. I know it's been having some problems with the beta or the alpha or whatever fucking mode it's in, but it came out of nowhere. It's this game people kind of wrote off, but people are having a lot of fun with it. Apparently, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, because I've been getting into Vikings on Netflix, I'm kind of looking forward to this. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's, I really love how it's mixing the different styles and cultures. So you got like Japanese warriors, you got, you know, the Viking style looking warriors. It looks fucking awesome. And obviously the medieval as well. It seems like a game that you could just have a bunch of fun with a bunch of friends, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And I know that it also has a single player, which is always online, and I'll still want to give that a go. Maybe I'll let it play it or something, but I'm definitely looking forward to For Honor. It looks something different, you know? It's not just a fucking FPS shooter multiplayer game, which is usually what we get with multiplayer games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's, I think, why a lot of people were behind For Honor, is because it's so different in terms of multiplayer. You know, some people try comparing it to Medieval Chivalry Warfare. I'm sorry, but that game's really not good. I cannot enjoy that game for the life of me. But this is like really, it's always, the battles are always intense online. I don't know if that'll carry over into single player personally. I think the single player was pretty dull what I've played from it, but I mean, the multiplayer is going to be so much fun. I am also very excited for Honor. Another game I'm looking forward to on this list. Oh man, there's a bunch of them. Fuck, I'm gonna be busy.
There is.
Dude.
There really is.
Neo. Neo looks. Wait. Yeah. Neo is basically Dark Souls kind of, but it's a little more, I think, action focused. It's definitely in the same vein though. Like that, you know, you lock on the target, you kind of circle them, try to go for the backstab, and people can, like, if you fuck up, you can get killed really easily. But it doesn't seem like it's direct. I mean, aside from that, it doesn't seem like a direct stealing from it. Like, for example, Lords of the Fallen. I think that was directly stealing from the Souls series so badly. Neo seems to have its own set of ideas, a focus on a story, which I can always appreciate. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And something fresh, because I feel like the Souls games just need to stop now. I mean, there's been so many and they don't really do anything new that I kind of just want to see something else, like a Neo slide in and just do something a little bit different to shake it up a little bit. It's more of a focus on like medieval Japan sort of stuff. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Sniper Elite 4, definitely.
That game, that does look good.
I love Sniper Elite so much. I've been playing since V2.
Yeah.
I play V2 time and time again, but seeing that it's set in Italy, place I want to go so badly, like 1942 Italy, dude, that sounds like a beautiful game setting. I love the realistic difficulty on Sniper Elite 4, where you have to like really compensate for everything, you know, wind, bullet drop, positioning. It's insane, and pulling off some crazy kill shots, it's the most rewarding feeling sometimes. Halo Wars 2, I don't know how much I'm gonna play that, because I haven't played much of Halo Wars 1, so a little torn on that. But that's
definitely... I'm looking right now at Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the game that, if you don't remember in the last podcast, Maddie's like, you know what? I bet you it's going to do shit. It's going to flop.
Yeah.
You still think that?
Yeah, I do. I genuinely do. I genuinely do. Like I said, I want to be wrong, but like, I just look at that game and I'm like, no. Like,
you have to promise. If you, like, I'm assuming that you're going to be reviewing it, that you would make a video apologizing if you're wrong.
Apologizing for making a call?
Yeah, damn straight. Because you're so confident in your convictions. If you're wrong about this game, you have to apologize to the ham radio crew.
I was wrong. Like, I'll do that. I've done that before. I said, like, yo, I thought this game looked like shit and it was actually really good. But yeah, I'll say I was wrong. Yeah. But I'm not going to make a separate video like, guys, I'm sorry. I fucked up.
I thought it was going to be bad. I really did.
Here's the thing is that even when the big media reviews come out, like, I'm not going to trust those. Like, I'm going to have to play the game for myself and review it myself, because I feel like there's so much hype behind it. There's so much sway behind it already. It's a Sony exclusive. Like, that's already like a fucking 7 out of 10, because that's just how game reviewers go. Unless it's The Order 1886. I'm very skeptical. I really am.
Fair enough.
No one gave me shit for it, though. When I said that, like, no one really was like, yo, I don't know about that, man. Fellas?
Well, to be honest, I think that's because gamers and you know, players of games just generally are becoming a little bit more skeptical of marketing campaigns, becoming a little bit more skeptical of the hype behind games, and that's obviously due to a number of things. Although, you know, I say that, right, and then we had No Man's Sky, and we had a few titles before that, but now everyone's getting fucking super hyped behind Hideo Kojima's game, which I get because of Hideo Kojima, but gamers still love to get hyped, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. It's just something that I'm noting, you know, as a trend.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that gamers are getting a little bit more skeptical and not trying to get so hyped behind a game.
Yeah.
And that might be a little bit hard to do with games that are a little bit more closer to your heart. Mm-hmm. But Horizon Zero Dawn, I see people, you know, tempering the expectations a little bit. But if it's good, it's good. You know yeah. what I mean? I think it might do kind of like what Recall did with Xbox One. I think it'll be like, okay, have problems and do better with round two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm predicting, which I that's why I'm saying it would be a flop, but I guess that wouldn't be an actual flop in all technicality. A flop would be you got like a 4, which I can almost guarantee it won't. My terms of a flop is like people think it's going to be the best fucking thing on this planet, and like I'm saying, no, it's not. Like, it's going to be like an average game with a cool idea that probably isn't executed all that well and probably gets redundant because they don't know how to make open world games. And I said, that's my outside the box kind of prediction, but
fair enough.
Regardless. I want to be wrong. March.
Okay.
March.
All right, March. First thing, Ghost Recon Wildlands. I played that. I'm shit at multiplayer games in general, but I'm particularly bad at third-person games, and I played this, and it was fun. Like, I remember it was at, I did go to EB Expo where they had it, and it was kind of, you were there with a Ubisoft guy, and it was kind of like walking us all through, like, we got to do this in the mission, trying to be real tactical with it. It didn't feel like real to me the way that was portrayed, but I could see myself, if you were with friends as well, that this would be a fun game. I could see the tactics being there. It's just with third person shooter games with me, I don't know, I never get into third person games. I tried to play Gears of War, I really did, but it just never happened. So maybe this will be different. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. Ghost Recon Wildlands looks really awesome. I love Ghost Recon. Future Soldier is probably my favorite. But just the alpha we played was just so buggy, and the demo that was so scripted, like Ubisoft was at E3 for me, was like walking me through step by step, not letting me fucking just play the game. That left a bad taste in my mouth. But overall, like, if this game does what it sets out to do, which is just open world co-op with a very flexible mission structure, you know, because there's been hardly any co-op campaign games aside from Ubisoft.
I know. It's been,
Let me go through some of the games again on this list. Like, I don't really see, I mean, Resident Evil used to be co-op focused. I don't think 7 is, though. But I'm looking at this list so far. Maybe, no, Halo Wars is head-to-head. Maybe Sniper Elite? Not sure about that. But, like, honestly,
you know what? I don't get this. And I've talked about this in the past. I don't get why there aren't that many co-op style campaign games. Like, I get
sells games. I don't understand it.
I know. Well, I get that it's, you know, incredibly hard to develop for, especially if you're developing a single player game. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, easy to tack on a multiplayer and, you know, wipe your hands of it. But I miss those kinds of games. And I guess it goes back to couch co-op. That they're so much fun to play. It's why I love Borderlands. It's why I loved, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, where you could, you know, co-op the main campaign.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. And, you know, like, you kind of played it as if there was one character, like all the cutscenes where there was one main character, and then it just split into two when it came to mission time. And I guess one person was just like a random soldier, the person that you were playing with. But I don't get why those aren't a thing anymore. It's kind of disheartening. So I'm waiting for Borderlands 3 to reinvigorate my co-op campaign games.
Yeah, but I mean, I give Ubisoft credit because they seem to be the only company I can think of who's like, here's a co-op game, you know, like Division, Ghost Recon now. I mean, you could argue that maybe For Honor, they said something about the Ubisoft, you know, this article describes it as Ubisoft's co-op online brawler For Honor shows promise for February. So I guess maybe there is a co-op campaign I'm not aware of. But, you know, I know there have been some co-op games, but, like, I remember I think it was like 2012. I know that's when Borderlands 2 came out, but I mean, there were so many games that came out that year. I think it was like FIFA Street. Like, there were so many different games. That was like a big co-op year, I remember, because that was when Noah played the Xbox 360, and like him and I and like Connor, Ivan, like all of us would get so many games and play all of them together, like co-op campaign. It was a fucking blast. And like, now that's not a focus. Yeah. Like, it's either single player or multiplayer online only, or, you know, or competitive multiplayer for that replay value, and then putting in cosmetics to keep getting money afterwards. It's like, yeah, there's not this focus on like, hey, let's make a good campaign, which is why I've been leaning towards like MMOs, for example, because at least those, you get that co-op questing experience. Oh, I got back into RuneScape, I have to fucking admit. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun just playing with friends. I mean, that's how a lot of good gaming memories come, is through these. Sorry, I hit the mic. It's through just playing together. And sometimes you're not near that person where they can just come over and sit on the couch or whatever. You got to fucking play online. And hardly any games support that, it feels like.
No, and some of the games, like, for example, I remember a friend and I, we tried to do Dark Souls 1, right, co-op. And the way co-op worked in that game was fucking weird. It was just like, plant the white soapstone, and then you can get a ghost of a friend, and but you can't go into another level without.
Yeah,
like, it was
gotta
just so
them in certain areas don't allow.
It was
summons.
Strange.
Yeah.
Like, it was strange. Apparently, Gears of War 4 allowed for it.
That's one. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's one.
But like, they are far and few between. I remember at a time they were everywhere, and it was like fucking heaven. But now they're rare.
Yeah,
it sucks. Anyway.
Next game that catches my eye on this list is Nier Automata. I think Nier is one of the most underrated games of the 360 PS3 generation. A really good soundtrack, really good story. I know some people thought the gameplay was repetitive. I enjoyed it, though. And to see it getting... I call it more of a spiritual... I mean, it's not a spiritual successor. It is a sequel, but it has like nothing really to do with the first one. It's just kind of like the next entry in the series. Almost like a Final Fantasy, where like it's Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, but they are not direct sequels that are tied into each other. But it's by Platinum Games, so that means it's got some really fast combat. People are saying this is from the demo. I have to try it out still. But they're saying that this is like the Platinum Games from like Bayonetta 2 and Vanquish, I think it was. Like the Platinum Games that makes like really fucking good games. Not the Platinum Games who destroyed My Ninja Turtles, who ruined The Legend of Korra that I love so much. No, not them. Like, this is like the original Platinum
game. I remember when you played Ninja Turtles, you're like, bro, it's all the fucking same level. You just go outside, it's different weather, man.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
It was so stupid, dude. Like, so I'm not getting my hopes up too much, but from what I've seen, this game looks great. It's in an open world, too, which is a very interesting choice for an action-focused title like that. And 60 FPS gameplay on the consoles, like, that's always good shit. So, yeah, but I think the biggest thing we're missing here alone in March that I think you're going to go off on is it's not really the game, dude. It's the console that's coming out that month.
Damn straight, Nintendo Switch, baby. Yeah, well, okay, hopefully, right. When it's released, we get Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Obviously, I'm looking forward to that, but it may be delayed. They may be replacing it with a Mario game, which would be nice. It would be nice if we could get both, to be honest. I think, personally, that we will get Legend of Zelda. They've been hyping it up as a Nintendo Switch launch title, I believe so anyway. It's just so long that I can't see them releasing the console without that game. Mm-hmm. So I am super excited for that. But honestly,
really
any game that
roar out of the gates, they'd be smart to do that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And any game that Nintendo, you know, is first party published by Nintendo on the Nintendo Switch, I will be playing. You can be sure of that. It's definitely Breath of the Wild to start off with. I could get into a new Super Mario game, to be honest, like a Super Mario, you know, 64. I'd love playing that. So if we can get something similar to that. I never played Galaxy or Galaxy 2 or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm honest. We've talked about this to death on this podcast. I'm super excited for the Nintendo Switch.
I am too. Yeah, I really believe in that console. If they just implement the idea that you can play whatever console games on the go, get that third-party support, it'll be a fucking thing of beauty. I will probably fucking replace my Vita, to tell you the truth, if I can play console games on the go. Like, the Vita will probably done with. That's what I've always been saying, but they got to do it. That's the thing. I don't want to get my hopes up. Because right now, the Vita gets that job done. Certainly
does it.
Fucking does.
But, like, I don't know. I think if they can get the Switch right, because here's the thing. I know that a lot of people didn't play the Wii U. Obviously, the Wii was popular, but I don't think the attach rate for the Wii, as in a lot of people bought the Wii and didn't really buy games. They were happy with, like, you know, Wii Sport and that was it. Like, they had very, I know, but they had, like, very, very low attach rates for that game. Not many people bought many games for it. So I think if the Switch comes out of the bat, has the virtual console, has, like, the main games in the 64 era and the GameCube era, they can really, like, Nintendo could really bring back a lot of people that love their games, have those old games being replayed, play the new games as well. And the beauty about the virtual console is that people can play those games and tide them over until the next big release. Like, this console could be so successful if, you know, it does receive that new healthy supply of newer release titles. Because as much as I love older games, you can't subsist off older games, right? It's not a reason to buy a console. Like, people will just play on the fucking, on an emulator or ROM or whatever. And, like, I'm not, you know, condoning that, but that's just a reality. People are going to buy this new console if they can, if it's true to what it's saying about getting support by the AAAs, the third parties, and also having those awesome first-party games. So I'm trying to temper my expectations. I know I just talked about that, but Husalone. Fucking come on, let's do this. 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks until the presser.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah. It's pretty close. All right, so now we're going on to Q1. This is kind of the games that are coming out around the same time in the months we just talked about, but they don't have confirmed release dates. We just know they're in that range of, like, January to March. Yeah. So,
first one, Outlast 2, huh?
Oh, boy. The ending to Outlast 1 fucked me up, dude.
That game scared the shit out of me. Like, I played it over stream. It's kind of like one of my best lost streams because all the archives were lost. It was fun to play, and I'm actually looking forward to this. But I keep getting told to play the Whistleblower DLC for Outlast 1? I got to play that because apparently it's really good.
Really?
But, yeah, pumped for Outlast 2.
Huh, that's interesting. I thought, have I heard good things about the Whistleblower? I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know. Apparently someone was like, you got to play Whistleblower. Maybe they just wanted me to play more of Outlast 2 and scream and shit, but I'm sure Outlast 1, but yeah, I'm pumped for Outlast 2.
So, South Park the Fractured Butthole?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of South Park. I know that it's a great RPG, and I know that Obsidian did a really good job with the first South Park, but I'm just not a fan.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh, it's Obsidian, the greatest developer in the world. You've got to play their games. It's the New Vegas we never got. But, I'm not the biggest fan of South Park, and I could comfortably not play this game. That's my honest opinion.
I'm not, like, a huge viewer of South Park. I still found a lot of enjoyment in the first one. So, like, a lot of people are really hyped on this game. Like, I'm excited for it. Actually, no, I wouldn't even say excited. I'm looking forward to it. But, like, that's about it. You know, I'm going to play it because they did a great job, if anything, just blending in a tie-in. You know, that's, like, one of the
No
the
doubt.
Best
like, I have no, you know, doubts of the first game, you know, judging by all the reviews and comments people had about that game, that it was fantastic. But it's more like, it's a similar reason why I don't play the Batman games. I'm not a Batman fan, so I don't, like, because I have limited time with games, I just didn't play it. It's the same thing with South Park. It could be a great game, but I just know I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I can't believe you haven't played the Batman games, though, dude.
I'm just not a Batman fan.
They make Batman fans out of those games, is what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't big on Batman, but after Arkham, like, I do like Batman a lot more.
Okay, all right.
That's how I view it. But
what else is here? Nothing.
Tekken 7. I played a fuck ton of Tekken 6 when I got my PS3 first, and
yeah, it was. I saw some of the new Tekken gameplay though. It doesn't look spectacular to me.
Yeah, it looks slowed down a little bit.
The graphics look very faster. It doesn't look color. Like, I know Tekken's never really been this super colorful, bright, you know, animated game.
I'd say it is. I don't know. I remember it being
It looks bland and dull to me. I don't know if you get that, but it does to me.
I wouldn't say that personally. For me, it looked a lot more slowed down. Like, in 6, like I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, like, I'm not talking from an uneducated opinion. Like, I played Tekken 6 for, oh my fucking God, like, months.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. Like, I played that game hundreds of hours, and I fucking loved Tekken 6. But that game was a lot more of a fast-paced game. I liked what they did with the campaign, where they made it into, like, a brawler, and they added, like, a co-op campaign. It was so cool.
Yeah, okay.
So 7, does in some ways seem like a step back, but I gotta get my hands on it. That's what I really have to, for fighting games, I can't really judge from the outside looking in. Like, some people, that's the interesting part about fighting games, is like, there's that crowd of people who's like hardcore into the fighting game genre, and they know like the, I can't even remember the terms, but like the space in between moves, like the frames is what they call them. And like mastering combos that like stretch out for long ass times. And like, they get really in depth into it. And like, I'll master the combos and stuff, but like, I'm not like, okay, this combo works out because this is X amount of frames and I can trap them in this corner and do this and like have a strategy for each map. I don't do that with fighting games. Some people do. So maybe Tekken 7 looks really good in that department and I'm just not seeing it.
Now, I remember, and I can't remember which fucking Tekken this was, but I think it was PlayStation 2. It was a Tekken game where it also had a single-player mode, and it was Jin that could transform into like, to the evil fucking Jin with the wings. Yeah, Devil Jin, right? And it was actual single-player of that. That was fun. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Tekken 5, but I remember playing that.
Devil Jin was in 6 as well.
Well, there you go. There you go. But yeah, that was, maybe they'll bring back a single player. I don't know. I'm getting used to single players, man. I'm too old for fucking multiplayer.
Come on. You're fucking 40.
my reaction speed isn't as fast as it used to be.
What? Are you
I'm shit at multiplayer. No, I'm joking. But
I was going to say, what the fuck? Like,
I'm legitimately shit at multiplayer because I don't play them anymore. And, you know, I remember I just played a bunch of multiplayer games like Overwatch and Counter-Strike. And maybe it was a bit of a lag. Maybe it was because Lone is just shit at multiplayer games nowadays. So, anyway.
Last game on this list. Actually, no, I got one more. But Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
Nope.
I haven't played the Mass Effect game. I know, and people keep saying that I need to, but I'm like, yeah, but they're fucking long games, actually, and I got other things on my list.
One, what sucks is, at least for me, I know some people disagree with this, like, one is, in retrospect, for me, the worst. It could be in, like, 12 hours. I say this,
really?
I say this out of recent memory. Like, I replayed it on PS3, like, a year and a half ago, and I beat it, like, in 2 days. It really was a quicker game. As for the other hand, 2, I think, is the best. It's the most, like, well-rounded package. Best companions, in my opinion. Best story. That one's really long, though. Best choices, too. 3 is, like, the best fucking adventure you could ever imagine. And, obviously, the ending happens, and you're like, that wasn't worth it at all. Yeah.
Good.
I try not to let it hamper my view, but it's true. And I mean, 3 has the most underrated multiplayer. So, like, it's still a series worth getting into, especially since they're all backwards compatible now.
Yeah. I have to say, though, like, I saw a lot of people complaining about this, and I kind of get it. What's with the facial animations in Andromeda? Are they that bad? Are people
That's
just
like
overreacting?
It's typical BioWare. They've never had really good facial animations as far as I'm concerned. But I don't trust fucking modern-day BioWare. I don't. And I'm saying this as someone whose favorite games come from them. Like, my favorite game ever is won by them. And one of my other favorite games ever, Dragon Age Origins, is by them. Like, they are leagues fucking apart from what they used to be. They have fallen so fucking far down the gutter, it pisses me off. So I'm really hoping with Andromeda that we're not going to have this fucking political agenda forced on us in their fucking games like they tend to do. I'm hoping that they can actually... I don't mind drawing parallels, but a lot of people play games to get away from stupid bullshit like that. Don't put it in your games to send your own personalized message. I'm sorry if that sounds wrong to say, but I believe games can draw parallels so you can think, oh, that represents that in real life. Okay, that makes sense. Not, oh, this game is telling me this is how I should feel about this type of view in real life. You know, I can't fucking stand that.
Isn't an RPG meant to give you choice anyway?
It's just like, for me, I'm more of the natural creative process where I say, for example, a big debate is male or female characters and how you want more females in games. I agree. Put as many women, you make a fucking all-woman game. I don't care, as long as the game is good.
It doesn't matter in this, like, again, I would never look at a game that, I said this with my Prey 2 video. I think, no, sorry, it's Prey, whatever it's called. I said that I never care that a game, you know, has a particular gendered character. Like, I would never
I'm right there
judge
you.
A game, like, negatively or positively for saying, like, for having a particular gendered character. So, for example, if a new upcoming game that I really like decided to have a female protagonist, I'm not going to not like it just because that's a female protagonist. And if it has a male protagonist, I'm not going to like it more just because it has a female protagonist. It always comes back to whether it tells an interesting story and whether it's a exactly. good game and all of those things. Yeah, like I completely agree with that in that regard.
A good example would be like when Lincoln Clay was revealed as a protagonist for Mafia 3. Like, people are getting racist over it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, if the game's good, who gives a fuck?
No, yeah, no, exactly right. It's just, it's tough in the sense because I'll recall what happened with Overwatch and the whole Tracer controversy that happened
that
when...
Yeah, too is like, who cares?
They portrayed her as a lesbian in a comic, and a lot of people got really upset. You know, they were saying that they're shoving these views down our throats, that they're shoving, you know, anti-homophobia and, you know, shoving the fact that she was a lesbian down our throats. Like, essentially that whole rhetoric, right? But I'm just like,
that's stupid.
Well, it wasn't part of the game, and it was one frame in a 10-page comic on the internet exactly. that's separate from the game.
Yeah.
If that's not a way that homosexuality can be portrayed, and if that isn't shoving it down people's throats, then there's literally no way that you could portray homosexuality without shoving it down people's throats,
it's
right?
It's an exaggeration. What they did is fine, especially because here's the thing, is that people are quick to forget that there was a Tracer pose that people were like complaining about, oh, it's too sexual. And Blizzard was like, well, fuck you guys, and they made a more sexual pose. Like, they're obviously, they don't give a fuck. Like, they're going to be, why would they try to, at least for me, I don't view Blizzard as a company that's trying to be like, all right, let's please people with this creative choice here. I mean, that they decided she was going to be a lesbian. Who cares? Tracer's still awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it.
There just needs to be, like, there has to be a way to push different ideas and storytelling without things getting hate. Like what I dislike
I think the
is
last
every
of us
time
did it very well with
yeah
with
well
Ellie.
Yeah, but like every time that a game decides to have like a different kind of character, maybe that someone has a different sex or a different gender or whatever it is, that needs to stop be seen as shoving it down people's
Absolutely.
Throats. Otherwise, storytelling is going to be stifled forever. Like again, with the Tracer thing, if showing one frame in a 10-page comic separate from the game, if that is shoving things down people's throats, then nothing, like literally nothing ever in a game cannot be seen as shoving it down people's throats. There needs to be a way for storytelling to be able to be diverse. So I get what you're saying, but there's also a limit where When fans get angry about certain design choices that are being made, such as the sexuality of a character or their gender or whatever, there has to be a limit where that's just storytelling versus that's not, you know, being that's not shoving it down people's throats. And I feel that if fans keep getting angry about those kinds of things, then developers and creators will get scared about branching out and being different and telling a story that they want to tell. Because how do you know that a developer doesn't genuinely want to tell a story about a female protagonist or a gay protagonist without them also having this political agenda or whatever you want to call
See,
it.
See, that's the thing, though, is like Gone Home was fantastic, and that told the story of like a homosexual, it was a teenage girl. And it was one of the best games I played in, I think it was 2013. I mean, oh my God, it was so good, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing, is like that creative vision shouldn't be scared off. I think the solution is that the conversation on like, oh, you know, this character's gay, like there shouldn't be a conversation. It should be like, okay, that character's gay.
Yeah, no, and Maddie, I've said this that once we get to the stage where there's a gay transgender character, in a game, and people think, cool, sweet, and that's the end of the conversation.
Well,
that's when we know
it's just got to be like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah, no, you're right, and that's when we know that, you know, homophobia isn't a thing, that, you know, transgenderphobia isn't a thing, like, or transphobia, isn't a thing. That's when we'll know that it isn't a thing. But once, like, when it is kept talking about as either being a bad or a good thing, that's when it's still controversial. And I'm going to love when we get to the stage where there are different stories and different characters and different sexualities, and people don't think twice and just enjoy the game for what it is, or hate the game for what it is because it doesn't do, you know, it's not a good game, for example. So I can't wait till we get to that stage, because right now the whole each side of that political divide, it gets draining at times. Just fucking make good games, like that's all I care about.
Yeah. Anyway, good talk there. How about
good tangent?
No, that was good though. I think that those are the type of conversations that need to happen.
So I know you'll probably talk about the first two, I guess, but Bulletstorm full clip edition, like I've always wanted to get into, like I've played the first Bulletstorm a little bit, but I never finished it, so that could be my chance. Also, Yooka-Laylee, man, I mean, Heck, I really loved Banjo-Kazooie. This could be a game that I really get into as well. I'm hoping that Yooka-Laylee comes out on the Switch. It could be a game that I reckon goes perfectly with the Switch.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really excited for.
For me, not Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. That's the first one on the list for those who are keeping track. Persona 5, though, is probably currently my most anticipated game of the year. I'm like a fucking diehard, insane Persona fan. 4 is one of my favorite games of all time. I talk about it like all the fucking time with one of my best friends, Brian. I love 3. I played Arena Ultimax, Dancing All Night. What else is there? 2. Q. You know, like, there's so many Persona games. I've played so many of them. So I'm really looking forward to 5 because I've heard amazing things about it. And I want to see if they can, like, top 4. They seem to have a lot of good ideas. I mean, it's such a flashy game. It's got the most amazing presentation, really. So I can't wait to try that. But what I'm really looking forward to as well is that, like you said, Bulletstorm. I've never played Bulletstorm. Yeah. I've heard it's very underrated. I vaguely remember some gameplay on it. So I'm going to hold off. I'm just going to let this game roll out and pick it up. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a fun, like, from what I played with it, it's a fun game. Especially, you know, with the electrical whip and you can pull people in and kick him. Like,
that's what it was. Okay, I remember it.
Yeah. It's kind of like Doom in the sense where it's just like, here's fun gameplay. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I remember that was when that was released. I do remember now, like, reviews are like, this is just, you know, stupid, silly gameplay. Like, people weren't big on it. But now it's amazing how times have changed where, like, that kind of game is encouraged, where people have realized, okay, like, a game can just be that fun, a game, right? It doesn't have to
Doesn't always need to have a story, right? And even though as someone that really loves games that have interesting stories, and it's not all, like, storytelling in games is not always the strong suit. It's more about the gameplay, and rightfully so. I mean, they're video games, right? Games don't always need, so even coming from that, you know, mentality, games don't always need a great story to be great games. And I'm kind of glad that, not because it was a Bethesda game, but I'm kind of glad that a game like Doom proved that gamers can just play a fun game that's gory and hellish and enjoy it for what it is. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to have this interesting story. While I like games to have that, you know, the games industry, when you look at it as a whole, it should have those kinds of games, and it should have games that have interesting stories. So there's, you always need that healthy mix, I believe. So that's why Bulletstorm, I think, could do well in this kind of climate, especially post-Doom.
I agree. Yooka-Laylee as well. I'm not huge on 3D platformers, but I'm more than willing to try it. Never played too much Banjo-Kazooie or...
Oh, Banjo-Kazooie, man. Yeah. It's a great game.
Yeah, I plan on playing with the Rare Replay, but I got caught up with the Battletoads, like, arcade edition thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, did you actually finish that fucking hard of a game?
No,
oh,
not the really hard one, which is, like, the original Battletoads. It was, like, the sequel that was more of a, like, the Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, beat 'em up. Very easy, very action-packed game.
Well, you know the Rare Replay, they actually, with the first Battletoads, they actually implemented lives because it was that hard. Or, like, a replay thing, I think. So you could actually, like,
you could
if you fucked up, you could rewind it or something. Like, that game was so fucking incredibly hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know, Yooka-Laylee definitely, it's one of those platformer games that I really enjoy. Like, because this is the original team that worked on, or some of the original team at least, that worked on Banjo. So I'm super pumped for that. But again, Nintendo Switch, it needs to get on that.
So how about Q2/Spring 2017? This is kind of like the spring/summer season, ladies and gentlemen.
There's nothing here, man. There's, like, Elite Dangerous, I guess. Fucking.
That's on PS4.
No.
Man. That's already been out. That's on PC.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I want to play it, but... There's literally, there's nothing.
Sonic Mania? I'm really looking forward to that. What?
Not me.
You don't like Sonic?
No, I've never been... Like, I played, like, the original Sonic, like everyone probably has, but, yeah, I've never been the biggest Sonic fan.
I've played so much Sonic. I love Sonic.
Oh, I will say, if I had an Oculus Rift, I'd play Artica, the guys behind Metro.
Oh.
That looks awesome. So, and also, as well, I want to mention... While we're mentioning Metro, there's probably going to be another Metro game too, and something that's outside of the realm of the novels. I remember making this video on the Metro games, and someone commented, "You don't know the novelist, the writer of the novel. He won't ever let Metro be told outside of the realm of his book But the novelist, like the writer of the Metro books, have become so comfortable with the developers of Metro that he's like, yeah, they can tell a story in my world, but not according to what I've written in the book. So I'm really looking forward to that. That would be awesome.
That'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Cuphead. Are you looking forward to that? Yeah, I think it was PAX. That shit was fucking hard.
Yeah. No, not really.
That's going to be backlog time. Other than Sonic Mania, Token and 2 maybe.
Yeah.
That's going to be backlog time for Maddie.
Definitely. So we get into the rest of 2017.
Yeah, the rest of 2017. This is described as there are a lot of releases due between the summer and the end of the year, but it's a little too early for publishers to nail down dates in most cases.
Yeah.
So that's why we are just going to go ahead and sift through all these games.
Well, I guess I'll say we'll start with Scalebound. Isn't this from the Monster Hunter series? I can't remember. I don't.
No, not at all. It's like a new IP.
By who though? Like Microsoft Studios?
Want to say Platinum Games? Hold on. Let me open link in a new tab.
I don't fucking know. Yeah, it is Platinum Games. You're right.
Bang. Developed by
Microsoft Studios. Oh, it looks interesting.
Yeah. The gameplay looked really shitty at first, but that was a while ago, and they didn't show anything at E3 this year. So I'm imagining that they're really taking time to fine tune it, because I mean, it involves like hopping on fucking dragons, fast paced combat and stuff.
So like, is it kind of like God of War in that sense? You're versing big enemies and shit.
I don't know, because some of the gameplay they were fighting like smaller enemies. It was very different. It was very different. My memory is also a little vague because you know, some of it was, I mean, I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, my memory is vague as well. Well, I like dragons, so that could be cool.
It could be cool.
I don't know. I don't see myself playing this.
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, I'm looking forward to. I'm not a big Marvel vs. Capcom guy. I liked Ultimate 3, but other than that, I mean, I'm looking forward to.
What about Sea of Thieves? You played that?
Oh, yes. That
looks fun.
I mean, it was fun when we were all playing at E3, myself, Noah, Connor, and one of the developers. But I want to know if there's more, because it was really awesome, like, having everyone take a position on, like, the boat and trying to take out the enemy boat. But, like, outside of that, I wanted to see, like, okay, can we explore for treasure together? What's this open world like? You know, is it procedurally generated, for example? You know, how does it exactly work? And I want some answers on that. So I'm hoping that we see Sea of Thieves this coming year. But also, I hope we get some actual answers on what exactly else is in the game. Because they've said it's like co-op and stuff, which is great, because we just had a conversation about co-op. But I just want to know more. I'm definitely looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, fair enough. So
Agents of Mayhem, I know that's coming from the same people who made Saints Row.
Okay.
So that could be good.
Crackdown 3?
Never been a big Crackdown guy.
Neither have I, but it's there, I guess.
I mean, I've tried it. Here's the thing. Here's that one. I played a lot of Crackdown 1. I was like, damn, this is a lot of fun. Bide Crackdown 2. I was like, wow, this is the same thing. And so 3, they showed some sick tech demos for 3, though. Like the way the destruction works, how like each piece can keep falling to each other and like continuously break, but the game doesn't drop frames or anything. Where I remember like, the guy destroyed this building, this huge skyscraper, and while it was going down, he was like shooting a rocket launcher a bunch of times, and you know, nothing happened, no frame drops or anything. This is like pre-alpha, so it was pretty impressive the technical stability that the game had.
Mm.
Oh, another one on this list: Detroit Become Human.
Fuck is that?
That's it's
a PS4 game. That's why.
The people who made Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, so it's kind of like point click, isn't it?
It's more like just choice-based games. This one, I vaguely remember the trailer. It showed like a scenario where this girl was on top of the roof, and there were like 60 different outcomes for how things could go down with her. So it was pretty fucking intense.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know, man. Well, like, the Elder Scrolls Legends, that's coming out, if that tickles your fancy. I've never been a big card game person.
Whoa, you scrolled right past Crash Bandicoot, Insane Trilogy, the 3 remasters?
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to that. Like, I liked Crash Bandicoot, but I don't see myself playing. Plus, it's a PS4 thing. Why is everything just coming out on PS4, bro?
Because they have honestly lacked so badly in that department. They need a year where they, like, just fucking have a bunch of PS4 exclusives. Oh, okay, what about Overkill's The Walking Dead? They're the same guys who made Payday 2.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. I haven't heard of that one, though. Why haven't I heard of that?
It was announced, and there hasn't been, like, a trailer.
Is it VR?
No, it's...
Oh, it's PC. There is a VR experience, but no,
PC,
yeah.
PC, PS4, interesting. Xbox One.
Okay.
And, like, Payday 2 is good fun, so...
I know, people keep saying that. People keep wanting to stream and play that game with me, so... We'll put that on the list. Knack 2, Matty, you excited for that,
aren't you? That was so stupid when they announced it. I just shook my head. I was like, you fucking idiots. Like, why?
That's fucking brilliant.
For my JRPG lovers out there, Ni No Kuni 2, that game looks fucking sick. The first one was so good.
Sure it does, Matty.
Okay, I don't know if you heard of Studio Ghibli, but they did, like, the fucking art and shit for the game. Okay, they're, like, really talented people who do, like, anime just right. And, like, this game was based off of that. It was so beautiful. And it was so good. The story was so sad in the beginning, too, but it, like, got really good. Gameplay was awesome, so I'm really looking forward to the second one.
Okay, fair enough.
What else do we have here?
It's a bunch of random shit, a bunch of random Japanese PS4 games. Yeah. Like, seriously.
Interesting. Oh, look at this. Danganronpa V3. Fuck yes, let's go, dude. I'm so excited for Danganronpa V3. I've watched all the fucking anime for it, played 1 and 2, played Ultra Despair Girls. I'm ready for V3 Killing Harmony. I hope you guys are, too. All right, here's one that we can actually get into. State of Decay 2.
Yes, okay, yeah, I'll get into that.
Okay, let's hear your thoughts then.
So, hold on, where the fuck are you on the list, though, by the way? I want to make sure that I don't jump too far. You know, I'm just going to search.
Right above Gran Turismo Sport.
Oh, there it is. Okay, State of Decay 2. I played a little bit of the first one. I'll be honest, it kind of... It's similar with... What's the fucking... Dead Rising, right? It's that kind of, I want to kill a bunch of zombies, kind of get repetitive game.
Wait, what?
No, honestly, like, with the first State of Decay, it kind of seemed like that to me.
How much did you
I didn't play too much of it, but it got boring quick. For me, personally.
No, I understand that. State of Decay, though, it's not even, you might have just been honestly playing it wrong, because the first State of Decay it's about survival, like... Because zombies can kill you, and if you die, you permanently lose the character you're playing as, who has, like, special stats and shit. But the point of State of Decay was, like, okay, if you're looting a house, if you, like, loot too much, you make too much noise, the zombies will hear you, and they'll come inside.
I don't know. I've never been a big fan of those kind of zombie survival games. This is me, personally.
Yeah, they're a little cliche, but, like, this one was different, especially at the time, so I'm looking forward to State of Decay 2, personally. Empire, that's by the guys who made Bastion and Transistor. Transistor was my favorite game of 2014, so Pyre's looking fucking fire. Get it?
Final Fantasy 12? That's funny, Matty. Oh, stupid. Wait, is there another Final Fantasy coming out next year?
Yeah, this is where they fucking screwed the pooch, because now they're releasing a remaster for Final Fantasy 12, which is awesome. I'm really looking forward to that.
I don't know that's a remaster.
But here's the thing, it's so confusing, because they don't have it in the title anywhere. So it's not like, oh, it's an older game. People are going to see 15 came out. It was the fastest selling Final Fantasy game ever. So people are familiar with Final Fantasy now more than ever. And then you're going to come out with 12 the next year? Like, come on, put fucking remaster or something on that shit so people know that this is, like, an older game. I'm sure people can realize, because they're like, oh, you know, 12 is less than 15, so I had to come beforehand, but still.
Yeah.
It'll confuse people, because then they'll be like, oh, I want to play 13 now if they don't know anything about 13. And then they'll realize, like, none of them are on the PS4 or Xbox One, even though 12 is. And it's fucking confusing.
Okay. Just strange to me. Need for Speed title, whatever that is. I love Need for Speed. Oh, fuck off, Matty. Suck me, bro. here we go. All right, this is the game, all right, that I'm actually wanting to talk about. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
That'll be an interesting one.
Okay, I am hoping that they said that they're doing a single player for it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they knock it out of the park, because we've seen, it doesn't even need to be tied in with the movie franchise, even though there are so many different stories happening in the movie franchise right now. And I think the game that proved that, which I'm so excited to play, it's on my list now, is Shadow of Mordor. Mm. I'm hoping that they really knock it out of the park. And I'm also about to play Titanfall 2. We've seen with Titanfall 2 that a game that just had a multiplayer that introduces a single player, can do really well. And I think that obviously it's a Star Wars franchise. It's a game that looks fucking amazing, like graphically. It could tell this awesome story, and I think that that will do very well. I think it will do better than what the first Star Wars did. It might not sell as well because there might be a lot of bad taste in people's mouths, but I think that could be
definitely
successful.
I'll say right off the bat, it's not going to sell as well. But actually, here's the thing, is that with Carrie Fisher's passing and also Episode 8, I'm sure that Star Wars Battlefront 2 is going to land around that time, and people are really going to be in the Star Wars mood, like emotionally and also just the love of Star Wars, I think. I think 2 will sell actually pretty well.
How good was Rogue One, huh?
Oh my god,
fucking amazing movie.
I loved Rogue One. I loved it. But Battlefront 2, they definitely need a story, of course, because that was like the biggest gripe. But my biggest gripe really was just the lack of content. I don't even think like a quick 6-hour kind of Battlefield-esque story would have fixed Battlefront 1.
No, it was a lack of content in the multiplayer, too.
Yeah, it was just very shallow. Unlocks were few and far between. The taunts were trash. The skins, like the cosmetics, I don't even want to call them that. They were just different player models. Were so vaguely different that, and they were so much money. Yeah. It was a fucking sham. It was honestly not well executed at all. So I'm hoping with 2, they can really get it right. I'm definitely looking very forward to this game. I'll admit it. Like, I am willing to love Star Wars Battlefront again. I know that the biggest response to, Battlefront sucks, you haven't played all the DLC. Okay, I'm talking about the fucking base game that I spent $60 on, not the extra $60 you spent for all the DLC, or if you bought the Ultimate Edition for like $30 or some shit. I get that the game's a lot better now with DLC because it has content. That's what I'm saying, though, is I said, word for word, when the beta was out for Battlefront, I love what DICE did with Battlefront. It just needs content, and it didn't have content, so I fucking couldn't stand it. I didn't even spend more than 15 hours in the game, which is awful for a multiplayer game, and awful for someone who loves Star Wars Battlefront.
So,
for me, I have confidence that they will learn and just put a campaign in there, put substantial new Star Wars content. And when I say new, I'm talking like, okay, I love the original trilogy. I think that attests to my response to Rogue One along with Lones. But, like, okay, let's show the new characters from The Force Awakens and Star Wars Battlefront. Let's get these characters in games, right? We've seen game after game after game with Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia. Okay, enough. Like, they can be in the game. Let's put, like, Rey. Let's put Finn in. Let's put Kylo Ren. Let's put these new characters in Battlefront 2. I love how they included characters from Rogue One in Battlefront 1. That's awesome. That's exciting. So,
how good was she? Anyway, sorry.
What?
How good was Jin?
Oh, God. She was beautiful, too. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dude, I love, like, the badass. Like, she was so cool. She kicked so much ass, but she was also like drop dead. I was like, how do you exist? You know, you're so cool.
I remember you were saying that, like, you didn't even know like she exists as an actor. Like, you didn't know what she was in, and she came out of nowhere.
That's how I was. I love actors and actresses like that who just kind of come out of the woodworks and just fucking kill their role. It's awesome. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, I need to play the first one. I need to.
Very good.
I know. Like, is it you or Noah that doesn't like Red Dead?
It's me who's like kind of had a, how do I word it? I don't even want to say change of heart. I'm still not like a big fan of Red Dead Redemption 1. It's a good game, but it still doesn't tickle the fancy like it does with every other human on this planet.
Fair enough.
I like it a lot more than I used to, but that doesn't say much because I didn't really like it at all. But I'm looking forward to 2 because I think the same could be said for GTA, where GTA I didn't really like. My first GTA was 4. Didn't like it at all. I'll stand by my opinion with that one. Played it through, did not like GTA 4 at all. 5, on the other hand, I really liked. So, I'm thinking Red Dead Redemption 2 will do the same trick for me.
Fair enough.
What else? Injustice 2. Oh, yes.
I know you're looking forward to that. Yes. Not really me, but
I love Injustice. I love that it's not a PC port listed for that either, because what are they, NetherRealm or whatever? They fucking suck at PC ports. Last of Us Part Two, another round of applause. They're saying
that one's
another round of applause.
I am so close to just buying a PS4 just for Last of Us. I tell you a story, right? It kind of broke my heart, but we'll go with it. So I introduced a friend of mine to Bioshock, and he absolutely loved it. He's like, this is my favorite game ever.
I actually did that a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine played Infinite, and he was like, this is the best game I've ever played. I was like, yeah.
And he was like, this is my greatest game. You know, I love it so much. I love Bioshock, and I'm like feeling proud. I'm like, he loves my favorite game. This is awesome. And then this motherfucker plays Last of Us. He's like, bro, I've got a new favorite game. I'm like, don't do this to me, man. Don't do this to me. Not now. I can't take this. And he's like, Last of Us was better than Bioshock. And my heart just broke. I'm like, ah, why?
That could be arguably true, depending on the type of gamer you are.
Don't you, Maddie, don't you go there.
I don't believe it. I know it's good. I love Bioshock, but yeah, The Last of Us is fantastic.
I know this is a fantastic game. And when my friend had said that about Last of Us, I know that it is particularly good. So I've always wanted to play that game, and maybe I'll just like borrow someone's PS4 to do it, but I can't see myself buying a PS4.
Holy shit. Look at these four titles are all PS4, like exclusive. Last of Us Part Two, Death Stranding, God of War, Spider-Man.
God of War. And
those are all fucking exciting sounding games, and we've listed like so many other games earlier. Days Gone is another one that was revealed at E3.
Yeah.
And then like earlier on the list, there were so many PS4 exclusives. Damn, dude, that's going to be fucking crazy. Wow.
Is Death Stranding coming out? No way it's coming out 2017.
Nah,
this list is bullshit.
Definitely got to be 2018. That and Days Gone, I feel like, are 2018.
I'd say 2019,
actually,
to be honest, Maddie.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, 2019. My bad.
Like, I remember like people looking at a lot of the cinematic trailers for this game. People were like, I want to see gameplay. I'm like, bro, he just left Konami like this year, wasn't it? Like, yeah. Was it this year or last year?
I think it was last year. No. It had to be this year because he didn't show up at the Game Awards. Last year.
Yeah, no, that exactly right. So, like,
I had to be
fucking, why are people expecting gameplay? You just started working on this game this year, for God's sake.
I'd say 2020.
Yeah, possibly. Honestly, possibly. What? Why is this fucking on the 2017 list? No way.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to chalk that one up. So three of those. God of War apparently hit a really significant milestone just recently, so there's a good chance that'll come out soon.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Fallout 4 VR.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. That'll be fun.
Fallout 4 VR and Doom VR might make me get a HTC Vive, genuinely.
Yeah, I agree with that. Fallout 4 on the Vive, though, that was fun when I played it. I'm curious if the full game really works. Like, that's the thing, though, is I wish I could flip off people in VR games. Like, I wish that they could detect my entire hand. Like, they'd have a VR glove, and I could just... It's just something I would feel really good.
Yeah.
Quake Champions... I'm the same.
Don't think I'd play that.
What about Metal Gear Survive? Come on.
Okay, yes, fine.
Yeah, of course. Fine. Yeah, not Quake, but Metal Gear Survive looks great.
Because
that's a Metal Gear I want.
Sure it is, Maddie.
Vampire looks sick. I don't know if you've seen it.
Nah, haven't seen it.
It's like a
Prey?
RPG. It takes place in World War One. You play as a vampire. You make like choices, and like if you feed on people, like you're kind of evil. If you don't, and you like find other ways to get blood and stuff, you're good.
It's kind of
like Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, except like more modern and I think a little more linear. Prey though, yes. Prey.
Looking forward to Prey.
I'm surprised that's on the rest of the 2017 list. I thought that was spring. I thought that was already confirmed for spring.
Maybe this list hasn't been updated.
Huh.
And then I think the last one, we've already mentioned Breath of the Wild, but aside from that, I think that's it, Maddie.
Yeah, we got through the fucking list, bro.
Fucking hell. So it seems to be an interesting year for gaming, 2017.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Let's bear in mind that there's probably a lot of games coming for the Switch that are going to be announced in 2 weeks too, so we might need to update this video.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously when the Switch has the presser, we'll probably have a podcast dedicated to that.
We're dedicating that shit, trust me.
And I'm sure when it launches, we'll have another one kind of interpreting our thoughts on it. Because I know you and I are going to get it. I don't know. I doubt Noah will. He just fucking got an Xbox One. Like, Noah's light years
just got
behind.
An Xbox One.
Yeah, he's light years behind right now. So,
dude, I'm pre-ordering the Switch. I'm going to a midnight launch if there's one. Legitimately, I'm pumped for this. I haven't been as excited for a console as I was for the Xbox One. Mm. So,
anyway.
Sounds like it's it, Maddie.
Yeah, it was a good start to 2017. For those who have listened this far, probably should have said this in the beginning, but yeah, we're like, I won't say planning an overhaul, but we're going to try some different things this year with the podcast moving forward.
Yeah.
So, I hope you guys are looking forward to that. It's going to be a little bit different around here. Lone, any Maddie, final words?
Well, how long have we been doing this podcast for? Do you want to answer some fan questions? I did tweet out,
it's been an hour and 4 minutes, so yeah, we got time.
All right. So, well, at Desert Ranger, you asked about the Star Wars Battlefront game, so we kind of answered your question. Now, Kiddo asked a fantastic question. What do you think was the most overrated and underrated game of this year? That's a great question.
Overrated
game.
Let me look at my list of games I have played. Hold on. One second.
It's actually a great question, Kiddo. Yeah, fuck you having us look up this shit. High scores. As if The Last Guardian isn't overrated for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that would probably be it.
Yeah. Answered your fucking question for you.
But I mean, no, because for me, I associate that with disappointment, not like overrated. Because I can see why people like that game, so I really wouldn't even say that's like overrated. I can see
now, even though
if you have a good experience with that game, like Trico actually listens, that game is probably amazing. For me, it was fucking horrible.
Okay, I'll say that even though I haven't played it, I'm about to do the single player. Underrated is Titanfall 2. Mm. I think that's a pretty comfortable answer.
For me, underrated is probably Attack on Titan. That was fucking amazing. That was an amazing fucking game, especially if you're a Titan. They nailed the combat for that anime so well. They could not have done it better. You know, because I remember when I first started watching the show, with a lot of shows I watch, I think, like, what if this became a game? And I thought that with Attack on Titan, and I thought, like, no way they can ever do this, and they did it. So, for me, that would go under the underrated category of this year. Overrated, though.
A lot of games that were overrated.
Looking down my list right now. Did Far Cry Primal get good reviews?
I think it got average reviews. I think it was like high 70s from memory.
Then that's fair enough.
Yeah, I think that was like just like perfectly rated.
Yeah. I think like maybe Deus Ex because of its fucking stupid ass cliffhanger editing and the fact that they split the game in half just to make a sequel. Like, I think that was kind of a shitty move. Wow. I've looked past this like multiple times. Overrated? I wouldn't say based off reviews, but based off like initial reception and like pre-launch hype was No Man's Sky.
But like overrated before the game was released.
Yeah, but like, I mean, people were convinced that was going to be like the fucking second coming of Jesus, dude.
I don't get, like, I never jumped onto the bandwagon with that. I never did.
Neither did I. I was excited, but like, I wasn't like, yo, this is going to be the best thing ever. Like, you guys should get ready for this.
I don't know. It just seemed strange.
Right now, I mean, it's probably because I don't have any examples sitting in front of me of games I think are overrated, because usually, like, I'll get rid of them. But like, I can't think of anything I think is overrated. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 got some really good reviews, and that kind of pisses me off, because that game is literally the same thing as the first game, as much as I love Xenoverse.
Aren't they all like the last game that preceded it? Let's be honest here.
That's not a good excuse, though, because Xenoverse 1 was innovative, like brand new, fresh, and 2 was they were like, you liked 1, right? All right, here you go again. Have fun. And it was like, all right, fucking asshole.
Probably could have done it in a DLC or something. I think that's about it, so we can move on to the next question. Craze asks, who's worst at video games? And I'm assuming he's talking about either you or me. I want to say me. My skill and abilities in multiplayer online games have dropped considerably over the years. It's pretty noticeable at this stage.
I mean, it's probably because it's... I mean, multiplayer, you'll think like, oh man, I'm slow, oh man, I'm bad. It's just like, you got to play them for extended
You got to get good
at
them again.
And, yeah. And then you're good at them again, yeah.
I don't have the time for that, man. You just
right,
don't.
Bro.
Okay, here's a great question.
Better than you.
Fuck off, man.
Maybe more successful in real life, but I have the edge of multiplayer shooters.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated that. At Callum0182 asks, why does Obsidian make the best games ever? Maddie, answer the fucking question, bro.
Well, obviously they don't make the best games ever. But I think he's obviously trying to hint at why they made the best modern Fallout. It's obvious. There's fucking choice. There's still that first-person gameplay. There's still that sense of exploration, although I don't think it's as good as any Bethesda game because they do exploration better than any fucking game developer as far as I'm concerned. I can see why a Fallout fan would think that Obsidian is the fucking bee's knees. I think it's become a bit of a meme now where people are like, okay, like we get it. We went a little overboard after Fallout 4's launch. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious just looking at New Vegas. But I think people are quick to forget because a lot of people do it from the perspective of, oh, I haven't played New Vegas in a while and they remember all those good memories. It's when you sit down and you really play the game that you realize like, oh, right, I didn't like this, this, or that. For me, like I said, New Vegas' world, as great as the characters are, its world was fucking bad.
That desert,
boring. And I'm saying this as someone who's played 1 and 2 and found those worlds more interesting to explore than New Vegas. Like, I don't like New Vegas' world. Characters can only drag me so far. I like New Vegas' branching story paths and branching side quest paths. That, as a Fallout fan, you will get me every day of the week. That's awesome stuff. That's why I say it's like, yeah, the best modern Fallout game. But as a round package, you know, it definitely has some glaring flaws, in my opinion, personally. But I know that's
like, I don't really like the world, but it does at times like that deserty wasteland feel have some redeeming qualities. Like at times, like, I really do like New Vegas, and then other times I think, oh fuck, this is nothing out here. You know, there's nothing to explore. Like, the strip was kind of tiny, and anyways, they had a short development
time. But also, there was, like, this one part of the desert where it was, like, a dusty kind of dune storm, and that was, like, a good change of pace. Like, that was awesome because it was different from the rest of the world. But other
than that, where the Brotherhood bunker was?
Well, yeah, it was there one place, and then there was just another place. It was, like, I think formerly, like, a lake or something like that. And there was, like, a dust storm there as well. And it was just different to explore, aside from just the, okay, running along sand, yada, 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 like... Yeah. That's why people don't realize that, you know, Bethesda's exploration in 3 and 4 is miles better than Obsidian's New Vegas. That's one thing I'll say, that, yeah, the choice in New Vegas has 3 and 4 beat out every day. The gameplay is the same as 3, but 4 is probably better in the terms I'm talking about, like, shooting people.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that people also don't realize, is I think every Fallout has its own set of strengths and weaknesses.
Of course. It's never that clear cut, you know?
Yeah. Imagine if it was.
Here's a great question by @Carax9699. If any of your favorite series had to be killed off, which would it be and why? That's a fantastic question.
Fallout.
What? Yeah. No way. Bullshit, bro.
There's been so many Fallout games. Like, all right, we had 4. It didn't work out.
But over the stretch of a very long period.
I don't know. I'd probably go with Fallout.
Oh, fuck, man. No way. I think Fallout can be explored a little bit more.
Fallout can be explored more, but they take so long to do it. Like, they could annualize the franchise, or they could just, like, do one more and cut it off. Like, that's what I do.
I could not see them doing that.
No,
I will say this.
Business-wise, they would never do it. I'm saying, like, if you had to, like, I wouldn't want to see Fallout go, but if I were to see a favorite franchise of mine go, it'd probably be, like, I could live with Fallout because there's so many.
Yeah.
You know, Knights of the Republic, for example, that's my favorite series ever, but I wouldn't want that to go because there's so little. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm going to be like Fallout.
I get what you mean. I'm going to say, this might surprise you.
And also,
right?
Another good reason why, modding. You can just keep renewing your Fallout game, in a way. Obviously, true. You want that official entry, but... You know, you see these big-ass mods, like in Skyrim, Enderal, Skywind, Skyblivion. You can make these fucking games inside a game. So,
yeah, that's
Fallout
true.
Could get extended life that way, too.
This might surprise you, Maddie. Okay. I want to say Bioshock. And here's why.
That doesn't surprise me either. That's a good answer, too.
That's because, and I mentioned this in the past, Ken Levine kind of wrapped up the story, presented it back to fans and said, here, this is BioShock. And if it were to end there, I'd be very happy because I was very satisfied with the ending of Infinite.
Yeah, and DLC, that's another good answer right there. I'd definitely say one of those two.
Yeah.
Because you want another BioShock, but it's just like, good luck topping that.
You know what I say is going to happen, Matty, honestly, and it's going to break my heart when it does happen, that it's going to come out and people are going to be like, this is not Ken Levine's game, this is shit, I hate BioShock, it's going to receive a lot of negativity, and it's just going to not ruin my love for it, because that can never happen, but it's just going to piss me off. Because like, I see it happening right now. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to fucking
happen.
But I don't think there's anything else, to be honest. And okay, Cyrek asks, I'm pretty sure you made a video on this, but what's your game of the year? We can end the video with this, okay, or the podcast with this.
Well, you can go
What
ahead.
Is your game of the year?
Actually, I'll go ahead and just get mine out of the way because I made a whole video on it. Mine's Overwatch.
Okay.
It was either Overwatch or Final Fantasy 15, but the reason I went with Overwatch is because I don't like multiplayer-only titles all that often, and this has been a year where I've enjoyed them a lot. Gigantic is another example of a multiplayer-only title. It's a new MOBA that's in early access right now that I've been really enjoying. But the reason I picked Overwatch is because, I don't like multiplayer-only titles, and this is one that's hooked me for 7 months now. You know, I don't... Yeah. As a YouTuber, I don't stick around for games all that long because I like to move on to the next one. But I've been better at sticking around longer. On top of that, though, just that Overwatch kept pulling me back over and over and over again. Each hero is his own game mode. It's a ton of fun. I love playing with my friends. Competitive is really intense, but they also have fun with, like, the seasonal events. Skins are awesome. Love the voice lines, the comics, the shorts. I love everything about Overwatch. I really do.
Yeah. I will say Doom. Like, I had a good amount of fun with Doom. Huh. Even the multiplayer. Like, I actually I'm one of the people that really liked the multiplayer in Doom.
We played a ton of that on stream.
We played a ton of that. It was a fucking blast. So I'm going to say Doom. And even though towards the end the single player got a little bit repetitive, in my opinion, I thought it dragged on just a little bit too much. But yeah, I'll say that was my game of the year, without a doubt.
Interesting. I didn't expect
that. Alrighty. Yeah. Well, I didn't really play many games this year anyway.
True. All right, cool.
All righty.
That'll wrap up this episode of the Ham Radio Podcast. We thank all of you out there for listening for this extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
This time, let's see if you actually have final words, because last time I looked like an idiot.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm kidding.
Final words. So for me, in Australia, it is actually the 31st, so it's New Year's Eve today. And so 2017, like... For me, and I know everyone has New Year's resolutions and they never turn out, but I guess my final words for me for 2017, just try and, you know, have a good year. I know 2016, in a lot of ways, it's a shit year. In a lot of ways, it's been a good year. But for me, I'm trying to make it that I just focus on myself. I want to be selfish, focus on my priorities and trying to have as best of a year as possible. I'm not going to be negative. So maybe, you know, some people will take... you know, a bit of a, I guess, knowledge from that and try and do the same thing that I'm trying to do in 2017 and not be a negative Nancy and say that the world's fucking shit. So
well, yeah, help yourself out, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like,
the battle of being upset over random shit is just that, you know, you do it to yourself a lot of the times. So it's like, help yourself out. Just think of a little bit brighter.
Yeah, so I'm going to focus on what's important to me next year. Next year is going to be loans year. It's going to be me... Yeah, exactly. But that's my final words. Do the same as what I'm doing. Try and have a good year next year.
Cool. All right. Now I'll wrap up this Alrighty. Week's episode then. We hope you guys enjoyed. And we will catch you next week.
In the new year.
Oh, yeah, in the new year. Right.
Take care, guys.
Later.